Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Electors of Nanup, welcome to Alberina. Being 4:30, I'll declare the March meeting of the Nanupshire Council open and welcome many members of the public here today. I will talk a bit louder than normal because I'm aware of the noise behind me. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we're meeting today, the Wurundjeri and Bibbulmun people, and pay respect to their past, elders past, present and emerging. Also, under the new Local Government Act, this meeting is recorded. We do have a recording mechanism here. That recording will appear, I think, within a fortnight on the website of the Nanupshire Council if you want to trace it back, and there has been like that for the last three or four meetings. Really, if you want to really put yourself to sleep at night, go and look, listen to those recordings. Attendance apologies. I'd like to note that Councillor Sly is an apology for today. And moving on. Public question time. Public question time. Yes, Robert. Be great. Thanks, I've finished.
Okay.
Public question time is the time when you can front the post here, project your voice to the audio recording, give your name and address, and ask a question of council business.
Okay. Robert Taylor, 179 Johnston Road, Chalbarraga. Just a simple question. I'd like to know what the council is doing on follow-up of the fire break situation. The guy opposite me still has not put one in, hasn't burnt his block for years, and it's quite a concern. It's all bush, and I've noticed around the others. In saying that, I have a little bit to do on mine, and I've already started doing that, but it's quite obvious a lot of people are not doing the right thing.
I'll pass that to the CEO. I think we have some good news on that.
Yeah, thank you. So one of the main reasons the fire breaks has been a bit lapsed this year is because we have had a vacancy in the ranger position. So we've just actually recruited and had an accept the position today. They're going to start in roughly a month. Obviously, this fire season's gone really by then. But we have been working with what we have at the time. So Kim, our the manager who looks after that area, has been whenever been having something reported to him, whether it's a complaint or the FCOs are going around and working out properties to report, we've been writing them the compliance requirements, and then we've almost got to the point where we're going to start infringing a few of them. Nonetheless, they are improving as we go, and as we know, it has been a bit year on year. It's, you know, we've went hard one year and then it's soft the next year, and that's created a bit of inconsistency on the Shire's level, which has sort of aided to that issue of people becoming a bit more relaxed about fire breaks. We're hoping that this new range will bring some consistency in that and bring that consistency and that quality up on the fire break notices. So that's the reason we've had a bit of a lapse on the fire breaks this year.
Any other members of the public want a question? A Docker supporter there?
Sorry, no, not a Docker supporter. Catherine Stevenson, 282 Johnston Road, Jogarraga. Just actually, can I follow up from Rob's question? Is the council committed to actually issuing infringement notices on people who actually have been issued with compliance notices and then actually haven't followed through with that? I understand the issue argument about carrot versus stick, but
yeah,
the people who have been recalcitrant.
So yeah,
through the chair. Yeah, definitely. So we have, for people who have been trying, because a lot of it's there's a lot of education out there that's required. For people who've blatantly done nothing, yes, we're going to fine them. I think have we issued any fines? Not at this point, but there are a couple that have been identified for that when they've done absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Because some people have tried, and you can definitely see they've tried, but they haven't quite got the compliance exactly right. So we wrote back to them and said, this is what you need to get right.
I do have two other questions.
Yes.
One is in relation to, our friendly status of Nanupshire Shire. and I was pleased to see both on Facebook, the Shire's Facebook page, and in the recent fortnightly e-newsletter, the information that actually gone out about the Shire being an owl-friendly Shire. I'm just wondering when that information is actually going to be placed on the Shire's website. I've searched for it and I cannot find it anywhere. So I'm just wondering what the time is for that. And then just as a follow-up with that, one of the parts of that adoption of that status was that both the Shire itself and contractors that the Shire used who were having to do pest rodent control would be required to use our friendly baits if baits have to be used. Has that occurred?
Yeah. So I'll answer the first part. Yeah. So that was from a resolution from a couple of years ago, during your time. And so that, from my understanding, there was something put on the website regarding that. We have, because we also revisited this recently as well, which is quite uncanny. But we couldn't find that information on there, but I know there was pamphlets circulated, there was some publications. That being said, I've now passed that on to our recently started sustainability officer, who's going to look at all those elements with the committee and all that, and we'll start to pull that through. In relation to, in terms of education to the wider public and getting that really on a proper trajectory. In relation to the pest control elements, so I do know that a previous works manager had done that in the past, but we've had a change in officer then, and in conjunction with all of the changes that's happened in relation to officers, I can't be certain that we are or aren't doing that. I don't know if you can add anything to that in certainty. But that's why I put it to our sustainability officer, because then that person can help pull the Shire through. So if we aren't doing that, we can get back to doing that. Yeah.
All right.
But I do know we had it at one stage. I do. Yeah.
And the other question, which is also about a motion that was passed by council a number of years ago when I was on council, was about the Reconciliation Action Plan. I know that there's been some work, there was some work done on that, and I also know that when I raised this in September 2023 with council, you identified that it wasn't a priority for the council at that time. I'm just wondering, is there a time frame or a timeline for the council to actually further develop that, particularly given that there's a whole lot of other projects happening in the Shire, like the GA Park, which whilst it's not a Shire project, the Shire supports.
Correct.
The Trails Town, all of which actually talk about heritage and culture. So I just want you to know whether there's a time frame for the Reconciliation Action Plan being revisited.
Yes, so I don't have a time frame, but I would like to get it off that list. So this comes down to officer resource, but you're correct. Geoparks and the trails that we're looking to develop, we've already developed and we're looking to develop, and now we're going for trail town status as well. All of that will add to the part of the accreditation process for the trail town particularly. So yeah, the importance of that now coming through has sort of come up a little bit more. So I don't have a time frame, unfortunately, but rest assured I'd like to get it off our list as well and have it in the end process. Yeah.
Thank you. Gentleman over there.
Jeff Kemp, 65 Denny Road, Jolbarraga. I'd like to know when the council is going to do some work at the tip to make it more user friendly. On a number of occasions, I've been there with all the gear separated, you know, bottles and cans and plastics and what have you, only to find that all the bins are full and you have to take it down the tip phase. I'm sure there are other people here who have had the same experience. I think it's time to get rid of those wheelie bins and put some skips in there that can be emptied sort of at a regular time. The paper one seems to work fairly well, but the glass, plastic and bottles is a disaster. Thank you.
CEO or our manager of infrastructure, mate?
Yeah, I can answer that. So, good question. We are completely cognizant of our waste facility and the fact that it can be better and more functional and the like. We have that sustainability officer I said who commenced with us in January. He is working on a waste strategy now. That was one of the focus areas we gave to him, looking at all aspects of our waste management. So that would go everything from the tip, the actual waste facility itself, types of recycling, how to recycle, also getting people to reduce their waste at the consumer level. It'll look at all sorts of things like that. So it certainly is looking at all aspects of the tip, that included in terms of volumes of bins and just trying to make it work a bit better. The Shire recently got out there and cleaned up a whole heap of refuse around the perimeter of the tip, which blows and birds and all the rest of it. But yeah, we're cognizant of the fact that we need to do some work on that. So the starting points of waste strategy.
Through the chair, we have recently made a variation to the waste contract as well, where we've going to bring in skip bins for recycling, so to improve that. So 15 cube skip bins are going to be brought in, and we're going to remove that green sea container. So that's going to go. So we're going to do a different strategy around the way we do recycling in the future.
Any other questions? Can you come a bit closer for our recording?
I live at 50 Leschenolfi Drive in Kalbarriga. The question I have is probably a main roads question, but it would have to be followed up with the consumers through the council. Whilst the main road has now been done through town and they've done the line marking, etc., the islands haven't been painted. And I did mention that to one of the guys running on the pedometer saying the island ends need to be painted. And I've been a few times coming in, going to and from work or from at night. It's the middle of winter, it's dark. They really need to be painted. And also the one opposite Chad that leads up to the rim where the trucks come in and out, that section started to dig up. And that island, I personally believe, needs to be removed to make it easier for the trucks to turn left to go up the cliffs and through. But it's something that I would like to see. Number one, the island ends painted with the fluoro paint, and then possibly that island removed to make it easier for the trucks to turn left going up the hill. Thank you.
Can I get Manager of Infrastructure to make a comment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Through the chair, look, we're disappointed with that. That seal that they put on that road. We've made complaints to Main Roads about it, basically the surface condition of it. They've said they're going to repair that area where you suggested, near Chad's there, on the Brockman Highway, Warren Road intersection. So they're going to look at doing that. I can take that back about the line marking. Back to Main Roads. So for those that aren't aware, it's Main Roads did the sealing, and we paid for the parking component of that, because under Main Roads agreement we look after the car parking and footpaths and the verge side of things. But they did all of the road. So they did all the sealing, procured it. Paul Hogan was the contractors that did it. From the Shire's point of view, it was very disappointing to see that Main Roads did that. So we're on to them about trying to repair it and bring it back to a reasonable level.
Any other questions?
Yes. Pete Sim, 214 Leschenolfi Drive, Kalbarriga. Just wondering when the timeline for the completion of works on Leschenolfi Drive might be.
I'll ask the manager infrastructure.
Mr. President, through the chair, the road's going to be sealed on the 1st of May.
Oh, very good.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, we'll move on. Point four on the agenda, approved leave of absences. We have none. We've got two applications for leave of absence. Councillor Brown from 25th of July to the 27th of August, and Councillor Hanson 10th of August to 30th of September. Can I move and second that the approve. Councillor Curtis, Councillor Gibb, you want to speak for or against? If not, declare that carried. Confirmation of minutes, the Warren Blackwood Alliance of Council, be received and moved and seconded. Councillor Hanson, Councillor Brown, you want to speak for or against? I'll declare that carried. Bushfire Advisory Committee meeting, February, that they be received. Councillor Brown has moved. Councillor Crowe has seconded. You want to speak to that, Councillor Brown?
Yes, just to note that at our meeting on the 3rd of February, we welcomed our new SESM, Jeff Allen, who is in the audience here tonight. So if you haven't met him before, make yourself known to him. Also, as discussed on increased incidents with vehicle lithium battery fires and volunteer bushfire brigades, in that they're not equipped or with the proper equipment or protective clothing to deal with these types of fires, and therefore they should keep their distance and focus primarily on preventing these fires from spreading to nearby buildings or bush. Peter Thompson from DFES also advised that depending on the size of the battery, it could require up to 80,000 litres of water if there's any chance of bringing the fire under control. The occurrence of these fires involving lithium batteries, both vehicle and household, has increased significantly and will impact on our fire and rescue and bushfire brigades in the future. I note that the issue of lithium battery fires was also a subject of discussion at the LEMAC meeting, with that discussion included minutes as per attachment 5.3, indicating that this is a growing trend. Thank you.
Can I speak for it, I guess? If not, I'll declare it carried. LEMC, Local Emergency Management Committee, the minutes being received. Moved. Councillor Curtis, Councillor Gibb has seconded. Can I speak for or against?
Councillor Gibb. Just add to a similar comment that Councillor Brown made. We were provided with information that the department was looking to provide a community awareness on this in the same way that the Go Bushfire permits and all that sort of thing. It's becoming a real problem. One of the answers that emergency services have to it is to drop it into a container of water and just let it sit there bubbling away, and sometimes it goes for 24 hours. So a community awareness program is important because it's something new to all our experiences.
Thank you. Okay, you want to speak for or against the recommendation? Not there, Harry. Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils Climate Reference Group meeting, 5.4, they be received. Councillor Hanson has moved. Councillor Curtis has seconded. Councillor Hanson has moved. Councillor Curtis. Anyone I speak for or against? If not, I'll declare those carried. Southwest Country Zone meeting of Swalga. Move Ms. Sengida. I'll move those as chair of that committee. Seconded, Councillor Brown. Just to let you know that Southwest Country Zone of Swalga, which is called Swalga, meets quarterly. The next meeting of that subcommittee of Swalga is in Nanup on the 28th of April, Monday the 28th of April. If you've got time to come in and have a look, and it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, a very interesting meeting, and it's a method of feeding back to the West Australian Local Government Association all the stuff, I guess you could say, that needs to be referred to a state level reference point, which is Swalga, which then has the direct ear of the ministers. So I'll move the second. Anyone I speak for or against? If not, I'll declare that carried. 5.6 Shire, none of ordinary council meeting from the 27th of February. Move a second for that. Councillor Brown, Councillor Hanson. Any alterations to that, Councillor Brown? Councillor Hanson. Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, I'll declare that carried. Okay, announcements from presiding member. That's me. It's a pleasure today to be here representing the Department of Fire and Emergency Services, who have awarded four medals, four Australian medals. These are awarded for meritorious service, I have one. These are awarded for meritorious service to members of various committees, organisations within Australia. These were instituted in 1974 under the Whitlam government, and they're coming up for their 50th, first one was awarded in 1975, coming up for their 50th anniversary this year. The medals are pretty impressive in the fact that they've got several features to them. Obviously the Australian coat of arms on them, with I believe also St. Edward's crown in there, and my glasses don't allow me to have a look at St. Edward's crown, but that crown feature in there is acknowledgement to the British crown. But the main feature of it is the colour and the number of stripes on the ribbon that accompany the medal, which are 15. And so each one of those represents 1 year. So the 15 stripes means a minimum of 15 years service for these people. Trevor Lark, Lindsay Blackburn Kane, Steve Boak, and Bernard Healy. Obviously Bernard's not with us anymore, and Kim Hyten will take that honour of receiving that. But obviously, anyone who racks up 15 years of service to be recognised with these, like a lot of us here who are volunteers, puts a lot of time and effort and sometimes sacrifice of the family time into doing what is an essential service these days in the southwest of Western Australia. The local governments, state governments and federal governments know that community life in Western Australia and Australia would cease to exist without volunteers of that nature. And from a strictly council point of view, it's very humbling to have you here, and a way of acknowledging on behalf of DFIS this achievement. So, one by one, if you come forward, we'll give you a... And we'll have a team photograph against the green wall over here. So who's the first one? Trevor, come on down. Disclosure of interest. We have two disclosures of interest on the agenda tonight. Councillor Brown has indicated a financial interest in item 11.3, payment of accounts. She will leave Jalbaraga. She has to leave the room. I don't know what room she's going to go to.
Into the room.
Into the room.
There.
You'll go into
it's
the room.
It's cooler in there. Or into the air.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
And the second one is from myself, 11.2. The person mentioned in the agenda item is my nephew. Okay. there's questions on members which due notice have been given. I gave a notice of question at the last meeting. In order there. Number 9, presentation deputations, petitions, we have none that I know of. Reports of members attending committees. Councillor Hanson. Nice outside voice.
28th February, music festival the council are walked through. 8th of March, the Historical Society AGM. The 13th of March, I chaired the Strategic Forum. 18th of March, I chaired the Local Drug Alcohol Groups Community Action and Strategic Plan Workshop. The 20th of the 3rd, the annual electors meeting. The 25th of the 3rd, presentation at the Shire Chambers by Helen Jance from Waitaki, New Zealand, Whitestone UNESCO Geopark, to guide us on obtaining UNESCO Geopark accreditation for the Nanup Geopark. And then, prior to this meeting, the concept forum.
Me, quite month for me, 28th of February, the Nanup Music Festival walkthrough, the 13th of March, the Strategic Concept Forum, the 20th of March, the Annual General Electors Meeting, and today on the 27th of March, the Concept Forum.
I did Annual General Electoral Meeting on the 20th, and Helen Mahiki on Tuesday.
28th of February, I participated in a walkthrough of the Nanup Music Festival with other staff and councillors. On the 13th of March, the Strategic Forum. 18th of March, the LDAG Action and Strategic Planning Meeting. 20th of March, the Annual Electors Meeting. 21st of March, the Musical Festival Community Debrief. And on the 25th of March, the Geopark presentation by Helen Jansen.
Councillor Gibb.
28th of February, Nanup Music Festival walkthrough. 20th of March, AGM electors meeting. 25th of March, presentation by Helen Jansen. I'm going to call this out because I've learned to say it. Waitaki, Whitestone, UNESCO, Geopark.
That's very similar to other councillors. The Music Festival walkthrough. A South West Local Government Association zone meeting, which I chair, and then a Welga board meeting in Perth, also the AGM on the 20th, which was attended quite well, and the UNESCO Geopark on Tuesday with the other councillors. Okay, moving on to the guts of the agenda. 11.1. Planning decisions for February. Motion there. They don't move. Councillor Hanson. Second, Councillor Brown. Councillor Hanson.
Move that Council receives the report as per attachment 11.1.1 on delegated development approvals for February 2025, comprising 4 approvals for a total of $626,700. I note that it's another month and another new holiday house planned, this one in Wollongong.
Councillor Brown. Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, put it, all those in favour. Against, carry. 11.2, concessional adjustment to a plantation, which I've declared an interest in. Recommendation on page 9. Move. Councillor Brown and Councillor Hanson. Councillor Brown.
So this is a procedural item, amending a financial discrepancy of $18.01 from item 11.9 of the February Council meeting. So I move that Council, in accordance with section 6.47 of the Local Government Act 1995, grant the following rate concession. Further or assessment A545-1237 Liliana Road, a rate concession of $18.01 to reflect 4% concession in addition to resolution 270225.17, concession granting $624.06 bringing the total concession for 2435 on A545 to $642.07.
Answer?
Nothing more.
Just to let the members of the public know, when we send our rates out, we do rate plantations differently from general rates. Two sets of whether they're blue gum plantations or pine plantations. We offer a concessional rate to plantation owners if they have under a certain value, certain hectares of percentage rather, of land under plantations, showing quite conclusively that that's not their primary source of income. If that's not their primary source of income and they can prove it via a stat deck, we offer concessional rates, and that's what that was. That was a tidying up of that rate miscalculation. It's been moved and seconded. Anyone else to speak for or against? If not, all in favour? Yes, carried. Financial activity statement. Recommendation here, page 13. Move a second, please. Councillor Curtis. Councillor Brown. Councillor Curtis.
I move to that the council, in accordance with regulation 34 of the local government financial management regulations of 1996, receive the financial activity statements for the period ending 28th of February 2025 as per attachment 11.4.1. Yeah, so I noticed on page 5 four variances of there's been 440,752 from materials and contracts, 804,402 on depreciation from non-current assets, and 1.618 to 161 million on proceeds from non-operating grants and subsidies, as well as the 1.140925 transport from the reserves. I note that on page 23 that 1, 3 and 4 are timing, whereas item 2, the depreciation, is a permanent variance due to the higher depreciation than year-to-date budget, and that this is a non-cash item. Also noted on page 23, increase in $62,637 for insurance, and recognise that we need to increase our budget amount for insurance for 25-26 year to reflect that this as well as increasing the forthcoming year's insurance. And in accordance with Regulation 34, I move that the financial activity statements be accepted.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? No? All in favour? Yes, carried. Show of Nanook Budget Review 11.5. There is a recommendation on page 16. Councillor Hanson has moved. Go on, don't be shy. Councillor Brown. Councillor Hanson.
This is the Nanook Budget Review. This is a process of council which is required, which requires current review of the annual budget for the year. The review is to be done between the 1st of January and the 28th of February in each financial year and to be submitted to Council by the end of March. This is a 36-page document and therefore I need to place my trust in the responsible staff that the document is correct and adjustments are in the best interest of the Shire and ratepayers. From a cursory glance, significant budget adjustments are revenue from operating activities, an increase of $156,227, expenditure from operating activities, materials and contracts, increase in budget of $391,528, increase in depreciation of $2,028,000. This is due to a formal revaluation of assets. Depreciation is a non-cash amount and excluded from the operating activities. Inflows from investing activities, capital grants, an increase of $708,229, which included in this is $611,560 from the Federal Active Transport Fund for the Southern Traffic Bridge project to add to that project. The outflows from the invested activities are infrastructure roads increase in budget of $136,770, partially offset by decrease in building budget of $121,644, increase in budget of infrastructure footpaths and cycleways of that $611,586. This results in a budget surplus overall of $35,749. I move that the budget review, as per attachment 11.5.1, be adopted, noting the forecast amended budget surplus of $35,749.
Councillor Brown.
Yeah, just to add that I also noted a $590,714 surplus in the budget as of the 28th of February, but also recognise in respect to the previous item that this may not necessarily trend into the end of the financial year. Some items in the budget have been identified as requiring budget amendments to properly account for variances. And note that if the budget, if the adopted of the budget on this item, it will have a forecast amended position of $35,749 surplus.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? Good position to be in. I note this week, for example, the Shire Cool Guardian had a budget deficit of $6 million in their budget review. Okay, anyone else? If not, I'll put it. All those in favour? Against? Carry. 11.6. Recommendation there. Move in a second. Yes, Councillor Hanson has moved. I'll second. Councillor Hanson.
Council at the the February meeting endorsed a new set of key performance indicators known as KPIs for the CEO. KPI 1 is prepare a report to council providing details on the requirements and timeframes to achieve WA Trail Town status. The Shire has been working on the Trail Town project since 2018 and has achieved many parts of the plan with the aim of becoming an accredited WA Trail Town. The accreditation process requires capacity audit, which is community engagement in trails tourism, strategic governance, trail management processes, availability of attractions and accommodation. 2, an inventory assessment of cultural, aesthetic access, activities, amenities and trail infrastructure gaps and opportunities in the region. And 3, a review of planning, community engagement and marketing strategies. 4, the CEO has contacted the Trails W team and met with them on Wednesday, and we are yet to receive a full report on that to discuss requirements and timeframes for the process. The CEO will provide a follow-up on this. We received 8-1 about only an hour or so ago, so yet. But that what this motion is that accept the fact that it's happened and we're going to receive that report. So move that the council receives this update on key performance indicator 1 and that a subsequent report be provided after the meeting with the Trail Town WA.
Anyone have entered into the old one, the substantive one?
Oh, sorry.
Three.
Sorry, I moved to that then. still says the council receives this report and agree that page 1, prepare a report.
I shall read it here. The council receives this update on key coordinates indicated 1, and a subsequent report will be provided after the meeting from Trails Town WA. Good one?
This one says
it's
been
that one either?
That one.
That one. That's the one. Bear with us, please.
Yeah.
This is a moving feast. I'll just read the recommendation and then I'll get the CEO just to elucidate. Mm. Council received this report and agree that KPI 1, prepare a report, council providing details and requirements of timeframes to achieve WA Trail Town status has been met. CEO, do you want to explain, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So as Councillor Hanson mentioned, in February, Council set a KPI for myself to investigate the process and timeframes to achieve Trail Town status, because we've been working towards that for many years now. I immediately linked up with the WA Trails Town team, and they said they can have a meeting with me on Wednesday. This KPI was due for this meeting now. So when the agenda went out, what I knew, because there wasn't much on the website, you had to actually contact the Trails officer to meet with you to then get the information. What I knew, I provided a report to Council at that point. And after my meeting yesterday, I wrote additional information into that report, detailing the requirements and the process and the timeframes to meet that Trail Town status accreditation. Would you like me to run through them at all?
Yeah, we've got time.
Yep. Step one was go to their website and they say contact us. So I did that. I met with them on Wednesday to start the conversation. So that essentially is saying that we're interested in becoming a trail town. And then subsequent to that, they sent us a number of attachments, which were an accreditation in terms of reference document, because you have to go through an accreditation process. And then there was a trail town package document as well. So those documents detail the elements that you, because they don't just look at if you have trails or you don't have trails, they look at a whole range of factors, which I'll get to in a minute. And those documents detail those. So the second step is to submit an application and pay an application fee. Now, she didn't know the exact application fee, but she said it was hundreds, not thousands, so I've said it's maximum 1,000. And included in that application is a self-assessment you've got to run through to determine on your own accord if you feel like as a entity you've met all the requirements to become a trail town. So we'll work through that. We're already working on that now. As Councillor Hanson mentioned, it covers a range of criteria, landscape and setting, so things like the character of the place, the sense of the place, the landmarks, you know, the soft things that sort of bind us together. The existence of tracks and trails that are actually built, so we have them. So there's things like trails, maps, signage, you know, all those types of things. They have a thing called the 5 A's of tourism. I couldn't find out what the 5 A's actually is, but what it said was it relates to infrastructure, support services, events, amenities, food and beverage offerings, accommodation offerings, visitor servicing, all those sorts of things that fit into that 5 A's of tourism. Then it looks at partnerships and management. So have you got frameworks, have you got governance processes sitting around them? Have you got the community support behind the process? Then there's engagement and of supporting businesses. So have you got the support of your local businesses? Can you demonstrate the businesses are starting to build around the concept of the trail town? And then a whole range of marketing, which is branding, websites, profiling, logos, visitor centres, all the rest of it. So so far, on the face of it, we've done our a high level assessment on it, and we actually think that we're ready. And now we're going to do the deep dive into the application, and we'll go down that road, and then we'll submit that to Trails WA, at which point they will then send a team together, so they have an officer, or 1 to 2 officers from Department of Local Government, and 1 to 2 officers also from Department of Biodiversity, Conservation and Attraction, also known as DBCA. And then there's also the Trail Towns representative as well, because Trail Towns are a separate entity, government, but not government type of thing. They will all come down over a course of a couple of days, between a lot of them and actually look and assess all of our things and do essentially an audit from their perspective. Then they'll come together, they'll do that individually, then they'll come together and collate their findings, and then they will also address that to us, and then look at that against what we promoted as what, how we have assessed ourselves, which will essentially form the final assessment, and then they'll probably come back to us with a few questions, and they might say, we'll give you the accreditation, but you need to focus on maybe improving this and this, it meets it, but it needs to be better, things like that. Then you'll achieve the accreditation, post that audit, assuming they agree that we're ready. And then after the accreditation process, it's an ongoing, ongoing support through branding, and leveraging that accreditation to build our brand and build our town accordingly. So the timeline is, there's a number of timelines indicated in the documents for each one of those steps, but essentially I said to the trails officer that came down, I really want to have this locked in by May 2026, which is when that last qualifying round for the UCI World Gravel Series is happening here in Nanup. So we're ready for that, we can launch as part of that, and then we're also ready for the 26th, the main event that happens in October, which is the UCI World Gravel Championship. And so for those of you who aren't aware of what that is, essentially it's a worldwide championship through the UCI body. Now the UCI body is Union Cycliste International, and they're a worldwide pinnacle body, much like equivalent to Tour de France, but in the gravel cycling world, and they're holding their world championship here in Nanup that they bid for about 2 or 3 years ago, and then got that awarded to them. And the expectation is that there's probably going to be around 4,000 riders, and probably up to about 25,000 visitors, people coming to witness it. The riders will come with their own support teams and all of that. It's going to be quite a large event, but the May event is going to be quite large as well, because it's the last qualifying round for that main event in October, and it's the only qualifying round in Australia. So it's going to be quite large on both of their accords. I think that's pretty about it.
Thank you. You also speak for or against? Just a bit more background information. We've assigned a month or two ago the CEO 16 KPIs, key performance indicators, i.e. his job description for this year. This is KPI 1 of the 16. Under the new Local Government Act, which has been progressively changed over the next year or so, KPIs for each CEO will have to be published to the public. These are not published at the moment, so you'll be able to dial in and have a look at the CEO's KPIs for the forthcoming year. So look forward to that in terms of changes to the Local Government Act in the near future.
Yeah,
right, yes, Councillor Brown.
I just wanted to add that this project's been a focus for the Shire from since 2018, with a number of components aiming at the trails. Town accreditation already completed, as were listed on page 17 of the agenda. The influx of trails enthusiasts, that's both walking and cyclists, to our town is noticeable by the patronage of our local food and hospitality providers. The next step is to assess the requirements to apply to accreditation to a trail town. And I know that cyclists are not popular with some sectors of the community, but what this does is successful accreditation will provide us the opportunity to assist to further build the capacity of our community for all of our residents and groups. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hanson, right
reply. Right reply, but also I've got a question. Because on this this new officer recommendation has requirements and the time frames to achieve it. The first point on the timeline is to submit application and pay the application fee. Have we got a time set for that, please?
Yes, thank you. So through the chair, that was another KPI to actually submit the application. So that's in, I'm pretty sure, I can check right now, but it's May, by May 26th, May 25. So within 2 months we'll submit the application. We're working through that as we speak.
It's just it's because it forms part of the motion. I'd also like to mention that it makes it extremely difficult for councillors when the paperwork given at such very, very short notice, like when we arrived at this meeting. So acting on what we were given beforehand, which is why it made it look as though we didn't quite know what we were doing. But given that, that new motion that we actually put forward, we read it, that the council receives this report and agree that KPI 1, prepare a report to council regarding details and requirements of climate roads to GWA for our council basis, has been met.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Yes, carried unanimously. 12, motion proves notice given, there are none. Meeting, we don't have no special closed meeting, and declare the meeting closed.
Mr. Chairman, can I just make a public comment about something that these people would be interested in?
I'll close the meeting, please.
All right.
I'll close the meeting at 5:21.